Hello, hello, hello. And yes, we are doing this. Welcome to the She Shifted podcast, where we're talking mind, body, and soul, bringing to you real talk, talk to engage, encourage, and empower. I'm your grateful host, Marcia Gill. Now let's get to it.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the She Shifted podcast. I thank you so much for tuning in with us today. I have an amazing woman of God, amazing just in every shape, form, and I'm just so honored to have her on the podcast with us to share her wisdom, to share us godly, biblical wisdom, and we are just elated to have you. So if we could just give us a hand clap for Dr. Tracy Gibson. How are you today?
I am doing good, Marcia. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. It has just been exciting. I know that when you and I first met, we met as it related to, I mean, of course, we went to the same church, but we met because I had some inquiries about just, you know, therapy and what that looks like from your perspective. And one of the things that stuck out to me was as we were talking, your passion, your love of God, your love of people, your love for women, in terms of being able to help those on their journey was just, you know, beyond measure. So I thank you for that opportunity just to pour into me along this journey that I'm on, and of course, just sharing your time and your space with us today. So with all of that said, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Ooh, well, I'm not the most exciting person in the world.
Come on.
How can we say it? Just a servant.
Amen.
Exactly what God called me to be. But I am a very funny person. I consider myself very funny. You have to be. I have raised three children by myself. And if you don't come out of that with comedy, I don't know what you get.
I love it.
I'm a Nana. I pride myself on that with my little grandbaby. Of course, I've put a lot of my life into just fulfilling the purpose that God has called me to be and called me to do, like you said, with working with women that are coming out of trauma.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a very realistic person. I don't mind shooting it from the hip and telling it like it is. So a lot of people, you know, they're let's just say they're indifferent when it comes to that.
But
just an honest person and so pleased to be here with you today. I wouldn't put anything against it or anything before it. This is very awesome what you're doing, Marcia.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I know one of the things, like I said, that stuck out aside from what it is, the anointing and authority that you carry. But I remember we were talking and somehow we got on the conversation about, you know, counseling, therapy, church. And I remember you saying, you know, it's okay to have Jesus and a therapist too. And I had that t-shirt on. I'm like, God.
And you opened your jacket. I do remember that.
Yeah, I was like, yes, yes, I love it. I love it. I love it.
It comes from a place, I don't have, you know, the platform right now to give my testimony, but just a very traumatic childhood and some different things and areas and being told, you know, by the church, you just need Jesus. You just need to pray. You just need to do this. And coming into a knowledge later on in my later 20s, discovering what therapy did along with that prayer.
Wow. You know?
So I just wanted other people to be able to experience that and come to a place of freedom and healing.
In recent podcasts, we've talked about having an attitude of gratitude and the importance of resiliency, especially during this challenging time that we find ourselves in. You know, you don't have to look far to see that things are very different now and things will be seemingly different moving forward. And I was reading this article and it was some experts believe that this is the perfect storm creating psychological trauma. So I wanted to share the mic with you because you mentioned earlier your love for teaching about trauma recovery. And so I just kind of felt like, you know, you can't necessarily have recovery without having some type of coping skills to help you along your way. So could you talk to us about the importance of coping skills or having coping skills?
Sure. You know, coping skills can be very natural. And then they can be very guided by counseling and by therapy. What coping skills really do for us, and many people call them coping skills, some people call them strategies or mechanisms, what have you. They really teach us how to handle difficulties, such as emotional difficulties, stress, or problems, issues that we're facing in our life. And so once a person can get a hold of what the coping skill can do, it can be very important in helping them deal with their anger, their anxiousness, because you know the word tells us, don't be anxious for anything.
Come on.
So it can really help you. It can really help us. I like to try to use us.
Yes.
And engage with people. And to understand coping skills, Marcia, the fact is that they're a way to help us endure. And the Bible talks about enduring. Enduring and fighting the good fight. And so coping skills combined with understanding how strategic they can be, they can really keep us in a place of being well, or they can help get to a place of being well.
Oh, I love that. Keep us in a place of being well or help us get to a place. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. That's powerful to understand how coping skills help us endure from a natural and a biblical perspective. I think that's critical, especially considering the circumstances that we find ourselves in now. Could you share with us just a little bit about the differences between what a healthy coping skill looks like and then that of an unhealthy? Because there are a lot of things that we use that we try to help us cope with, or to help us cope, that are not necessarily in the best interest of our well-being. So could you give us some insight on, you know, how to identify what the differences are? And then, of course, what are the differences between a healthy and an unhealthy coping skill or strategy?
That's really good, Marcia. And it's really good to talk about those, especially since we have this natural innate thing in us, some of us, really. To cope and to develop a blockage of what we're going through and not look at it. And so it's really good to understand what's healthy and what's not. And for a lot of people, they don't understand the healthy or versus the unhealthy until long term. And that's when you really can see what was healthy as versus what was unhealthy. But to just do, you know, just a generic look at it, when you talk about healthy coping strategies, we're talking about things that allow us to have grace with ourselves, things that allow us to be healed and set free. You know, they almost provide not a blockage to what's going on or distraction to what's going on, but they give us a healthy way to process what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us a way to understand that if I process this right now at this moment, then there's going to be a long-term outcome that's going to work in my favor, versus what unhealthy looks like. Unhealthy, on the other hand, you know, long-term, the consequences, if not the same that we're in, they're going to be worse. They're going to be more negative consequences to it. And then even with unhealthy, when we talk about unhealthy coping skills or unhealthy strategies to get through something, they usually leave us in a place of worse shame than what we were already dealing with. More guilt. We'll find ourselves, you know, dealing in more guilt. And I will, you know, name some of those things, but I just really want us to talk about how those unhealthy things can even lead us into unhealthy relationships. It leads us into codependence. Anything that leaves you codependent upon something has either become healthy or it was unhealthy to begin with. That's something that we really have to look at when we're weighing what is healthy and what is unhealthy. Is it codependent or is it processing me to be a stronger me?
Wow. So two things, processing me to be a stronger me. And so I wanted to talk more about that, dig a little deeper, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in I don't want to say neglecting that emotion or pushing that emotion to the background, but I think it's so important and critical, especially now, to be able to process that emotion. Like you said, because if I don't, then it does kind of push me in the direction of those unhealthy coping habits because I've not dealt with or processed that particular emotion. And so could you just kind of give some more, dig a little deeper in terms of what it means to process those emotions, especially in this, in these times? Because I mean, I understand encouraging and empowering because, you know, that's what we're all about. But if someone comes to us and say, hey, I'm really fearful. And I remember a few days ago, I had to have a conversation with a friend because I wanted to say, look, just because you're in a place right now does not mean that you don't have faith in God. You know, and I want you to know that I'm here for you to whatever it is that you need to say, get off your chest, scream, cry, whatever. So how do we find that comfortable space where we're okay with processing those feelings, not staying there, but processing them, like you said, for that better me?
Well, I'm just going to even use, I like what you said, and then I'm going to come back to it real quick. I like what you said about where we are right now does not determine what I am really about. It doesn't determine my faith. It doesn't determine who I'm going to become. And there I say, even becoming God.
Amen.
Just because we are dealing with emotionals and with problems and situations does not dictate what our life can be or what our life is really about. I really like Jesus when he said to Peter, after Peter had just had this beautiful revelation of who he was, right? And he, you know, Peter is still Peter. He has not changed, but he still has this beautiful revelation of who God is through Jesus and who Jesus is. And God, Jesus comes back to him and he says, well, you know, the enemy wants to basically tear you apart.
Yeah.
But I've already prayed for you. And so that's what we have to remember when we're in an emotional state or when we are dealing with emotional issues, is the fact that we may be in a situation right now, but the fact is that situation has not determined who we are, who we are to become, because God has already determined that.
Amen.
In the same way that Jesus said, I've already prayed for you. I've already determined your outcome. You've just got to endure and make it through. And so I think a lot of people get lost in the endurance because they don't have people to speak into that emotional place where they are right now. They don't have different, again, coping skills that speak to that emotional place. And so we think that emotional place is the end all to end alls. And we'll stop right there if we don't have that emotional guidance, if we don't have that emotional stability, if we don't have that emotional wisdom to develop coping to endure.
Right, right. That's good. You said you had a second point. I know I wrote down codependency, and yes. That was very, very much timely in how you kind of just navigated through the processing. And then what that whole codependency, because I think a lot of times we don't really realize how codependent we are on all kinds of stuff.
We don't. Because
how that has become so an unhealthy element in our lives. So could you share with when you talk more about the codependency element of it?
Yes, that is wonderful. So even in the codependency of it, we have this innate thing that the Lord has placed in us to be in relationship, to be in fellowship, to be connected. And at times, because we don't know how to connect, which is the thing we're supposed to be connecting with Him. Don't want sideways on that, but I can go into a hole with that one. But because we don't, and we have not formulated how to be emotional and in that place with God, whether it's with problems, whether it's with emotions, but life, I'm just going to put it that way. We haven't learned or we haven't been brought to that place. We began to fill it with other things. And those things because that innate thing in us is to be dependent on God, then we begin to depend on those other things and it becomes a codependency. Say, we'll use, for example, a relationship with an abuser.
Mm.
You know, if I'm codependent in that relationship, that means that person is feeding off of what I am giving them as far as me needing to exist. And then I am feeding off of the fact that they get a, I don't want to call it a high, but they get a sense of they need me to exist. And so those two things start feeding off of each other, but the relationship is toxic.
Yeah.
And the relationship is causing them to be codependent off of what I need from that person. Let me rephrase that. What I think I need from that person, and that person becoming dependent on what they think they need from me, when in all actuality, we should be seeking those things from God.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Come on, preach.
And I was not going to do that. Yes, but it's like a practical side of your mind.
But it's true. And I think that is to me, a very much of a missing element in understanding how it all connects and leads us to desiring or requiring a more intimate relationship with Him. And I think when we, like, you know, when you do neglect those areas, or you've not been taught, or you don't understand how important, how critical those elements are, then you do find yourself searching in different places for that, like you said, that need to be met, that gap to be filled. So was that your point, or was that my point?
That was our point.
Oh, okay. I love it. Cause I know you said you were coming back to something else, and I'm like, okay. It stuck out to me, and I can appreciate that, because I think that there needs to be clarity, especially in this time. Because now what we find ourselves doing a lot is we're trying to find those things to fill in the gaps of what we no longer have as it relates to social distancing and isolation and this and that. So, you know, you see people doing all kinds of things. And so I think it warrants talking about what healthy and unhealthy looks like, what codependency looks like, what processing those feelings and those emotional things that you're dealing with, and what that source is really trying to drive you to, those emotions. What are they trying, like you said, that innate part of us, what is it driving us, you know, to? I was reading this prophetic reading, and it was talking about, it was breaking down fear. And one of the things that stuck out to me is just the fear of the fear of lack, and how that is changing, you know, a lot of things that we are encountering nowadays, because people are, you know, experiencing, okay, well, what if this doesn't, you know, right. You know, what if this never gets back to normal? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to hire them? And like you said, it really is the enemy doing, you know, he said, hey, I've come to kill and destroy. And I'm, you know, he wants to sift us out. And that's exactly, those are some of the elements that he's using. So thank you so much for that. I can appreciate understanding and sharing what those differences are. So in my research, there are two categories when we talk about coping strategies and techniques, mechanisms. Could you kind of just share with us the difference between problem-focused strategies and emotion-focused strategy?
Yeah, that's really good. I'm glad you looked at that, because that is so key to understanding that there's a difference. You know, we talk a lot about emotion, and even as we've been talking a lot about emotions, but we forget that there are things that are not just emotions. There are things that are actually the source of a problem.
Right.
And so with discussing that, it is, I like to say that problem-based coping is helping us to change the situation itself that's causing the problem. It's actually, you know, looking at what the problem is and how do I alleviate the problem itself that's causing maybe even the emotion or maybe even the stress or what have you. Whereas emotion-based coping skills and strategies, they don't look at it so much as that, because emotion says that this is something that I may not be able to change. And we're certainly in something like that right now. Right? And so when we talk about emotional base, we're talking about I may not be able to change the circumstances or be in control of what's going on or even the narrative.
Right.
How do I endure? How do I emotionally set myself to be okay? And so those are the difference when you talk about coping skills. You got to figure out if it's a problem or if it's something that I can switch, I can change, or if it's something that I can't change. And then that's how you begin to look at if I use a problem based coping skill versus an emotional based coping skill. Because, you know, let's just take COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's a relevant thing that's before us today. In a general scheme, not talking about individual households or anything like that, but in a general scheme, we can't change anything about COVID. We can't change the ramifications of us at the stay at home. That is a circumstance we can't change. So we're not going to be using problem-based coping skills to deal with it.
Right.
We would use more emotional-based that would function on why am I feeling like this? How do I endure my anxiety? How do I be okay and in a place of being well with the fears that I'm facing right now? So we would look more at emotional. So that's basically the difference between. And if I had to sum it up, I would say that problem-based is basically strategies that help change the narrative, where emotional-based ones, they just teach us how to endure or and they help us be healed and set free from the narrative that we can't change.
I love that. From the narrative that we cannot change. I love that. I love that. So there was something that you said that I just thought, okay, that makes all the sense in the world. Okay, so we're looking at where we are now. And, you know, obviously that's something, like you said, that we cannot change, we cannot control, whereas emotions really is kind of like in our backyard type thing, stuff that we can, you know, work on, we can deal with within our own backyard. But is there ever an, you know, having the knowledge and of course the experience, because I'm sure you see clients that are bringing some of those concerns into your sessions. Are there any opportunities or there times where you think that those particular strategies may seemingly cross? I mean,
yeah.
And how would I know when that cross is taking place to make sure that I am operating out of the right element, so to speak?
Gotcha. Yeah, they do. They cross all the time. Let's take, again, domestic violence. If you're working with somebody that's in domestic violence, you may not, we know that sometimes it's, we need to take them out of that circumstance, but not all the time that the narrative that can happen at that mm-hmm. moment. And so we do understand that there are, that we should be using problem based coping skills or strategies to help that person, you know, developing goals, safety plans, what have you. But let's say we can't do that right now. And so what, how they cross is you teach the person or you guide the person. I don't even like the word teach.
Yeah.
You guide the person into the emotional coping skills and show them how to use those to best maintain the healthy me in that situation. And as they do that, what you can do now is they become stronger. And right. So now you can apply the problem-based coping mechanisms and strategies to remove themselves from that situation, because you don't want a client, or we don't want even, you know, forgetting saying client, we don't want ourselves
right.
to live in a place where we are always dependent on that coping mechanism, especially if it's emotional. We want to go to a place of being healed. And so sometimes in order to be healed, you've got to balance that emotional coping and then go into the problem. And you see that a lot in solution-focused therapy. You see that a lot.
Yeah.
Dealing with emotion at hand and what this issue is causing, and then going to work the solution as to how we're going to overcome this.
And I love that. I mean, that's one of the things that you and I talked about when we first met was just what our, I don't want to say theory of preference is, but, you know, I love solution focused and I love, you know, cognitive behavior theory because, you know, those are definitely, okay, this is where we are and let's, you know, see how we can move to the next level. And so changing the narrative, as you spoke of earlier, or just even having that outlook, of course, like you said, dealing with the emotional aspect of it and then going into the problem solving aspect of it. And I think that's great for people to hear because to me, it says, hey, it's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to have your moment. It's okay to, you know, experience some of those emotional ups and downs that we're going to have because the reality of it is, you know, it's a part of this whole journey that we're on. I loved how you said in the very beginning, you know, Jesus said, I've already taken care of this. But at the same time, we're having to walk this thing out. So solution focus allows you to have that emotional journey, but also, you know, get to that point where, okay, yeah, I need to, you know, start developing those solutions. I thought it was point that you pointed out how you, there was growth in the process. And I think for me in this particular time that we are in, that's what I'm most excited about is the growth personally that will take place in this process. Because that's exactly what you just talked about. Like you get stronger, you grow in a sense to where you can move from that element of emotion coping skills to that of solution-based coping strategies. So I thought that was pretty awesome. So, and I think we've probably kind of even talked about how do we know when it's time to make that change? And you mentioned how sometimes they may almost intertwine. I'm so thankful that you mentioned the aspect of domestic violence because we've seen in the news that a lot of those calls are starting to increase. So yeah, we have to be mindful that we're not in this alone and, you know, allow God to prick our hearts that we're praying because it's touching, just all kinds of elements and aspects of lives in ways that we could not have fathomed before. And I think, you know, it's important to be conscious, you know, of that.
Yes, it is very, we have to be so conscious of it because even as, let's just talk as therapists right now, you know, it's so important that we get our clients to understand and engage, you know, as to what the problem is or what the dynamics of the problem is, and just as much as it is as to engage as to what the emotions behind it. Mm. Sometimes we can get into a place where we are just so, let's just deal with the emotions.
Mm.
And if we just deal with the emotions, then that what we've done is we've actually crippled people.
Come on.
We're actually saying, here's a crutch, and I want you to stay on this crutch because this is how you're going to have to live the rest of your life. And some therapists may disagree with me, but when I go in to work with a client, I'm going in with the mindset that this person is going to come out the way that God created them to come out to live.
All right.
I go in and I don't want to give you a crutch, but I want to give you an aid that will help you never need the crutch again.
Come on.
And everything. And so it's important as we're even assigning, you know, as therapists, we'll assign, well, I want you to breathe 10 minutes when you feel like this. If you see that a person is going to use that and become codependent on that forever, I think we are not doing the client service,
right?
When we don't say in that 10 minutes after you do that 10 minutes of breathing, then I want you to get up and I want you to say these affirmations to yourself.
Come on.
I want you to believe this about the situation. You just came through it.
Right.
You were experiencing. Now believe this about the situation. And I just think that it has to go hand in hand, even where we are right now with this fear. We don't want to get stuck in a place where we're telling people, just have faith. Your faith is going to cause you to overcome this. Well, tell me how my faith is going to cause me to overcome
this.
You know, tell me how my faith is going to cause me. Give me the steps. Well, you know, it's all going back to the 10 minutes of breathing. You're going to breathe, and then you're going to say this.
Yeah.
You're going to have a moment with God and tell God, I don't trust myself in this situation.
Come on.
You're going to say the word of God that teaches you how to trust him in this situation.
I love that.
And so, you know, it goes hand in hand with counseling and with the word in doing that. And I just, I don't know,
No, I love it. Thank you so much. I think that is absolutely, it needed to be said because there's so much truth to it. And especially like you said, where we are, the situation, because that's what a lot of people are truly feeling like, okay, you've said this, but how? And that's one of the things that I felt that God, when he laid this podcast, was to be able to create those, you know, some steps to at least get people started in making that change, making that transition, speaking words of affirmation. How do I change this negative thinking that I have? How do I, you know, understand that, yeah, I may have been fearful, but he's overcome the world. How do I walk those things out? How do I believe what he says about me? So it needed to be said, and thank you. Thank you for saying it.
You know how I feel. I feel that it is. I was just speaking with somebody else earlier today, and I do. I believe that therapy, I believe that counseling in psychology is redeemable in Christ Jesus. You know, we talk about CBT, cognitive behavior, and I think we talked about this earlier, cognitive behavior therapy. You know, it says, I'm going to give you techniques and tools on how to change your behavior in this, in the way you, by changing the way you think about it.
Right.
That's the word of God. The word of God says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Come on.
And so, you know, CBT, I don't care if 30, 40 years has been being used. No, ma'am. It's been being used since God, Son, God in the flesh himself walked the earth and began to change the way we even thought about our salvation.
The chief counselor. Come on.
Not to be funny, but the word says, oh, yeah. God, who had God sought counsel to counsel himself? And so if we don't seek our counseling techniques and our strategies from the one who doesn't need a counselor.
What?
I don't know what we're doing.
I wish you all could see her face right now. Yeah. I don't know what we're doing either. I don't know. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh my gosh. So, you know, now that we've kind of gone, you know, through like counseling 101, therapy 101, I'm wondering how, when you, one of the things that I know that will happen, like you said, we don't want to give these strategies, techniques to become a crutch, but as people are in the foxhole right now, there will be moments where you will have those where you'll kind of go back and your emotions will just take over because of what your eyes see. Right. And so I'm wondering how do we know, how can we identify, what are the telltale signs to help us understand when it's important to, you know, replenish or revamp, you know, those coping skills to get us to that point where we've truly accomplish that healing for that particular circumstance or situation.
That's really good. I think, you know, even much like Peter, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink, you know, there was a revamping in that because, you know, Jesus brought him back. And we forget that Peter did walk on the water. There was a moment when he was doing it. And so for a lot of us, we were out there, we were doing life, we were coping, we were okay with the narrative that was given to some of us that we didn't choose. So we were okay. But now we're in a place of, I'm in a storm. And so I may have just glanced away from what was keeping me. And so we may need revamp it. We may need pulling back up. And so with that, I think we have to sit down and we have to understand that our coping skills that we were doing before may not dull, not useless, but they need to be a compass to handle this new emotions that we're feeling. We talk about journaling. We talk about some of the emotional ones, separating them from the problem ones.
Right.
We're dealing with a lot of emotion right now. We may have been exercising. We may have been journaling. You know, we may have been listening to music or spending time with our pets or what have you. Well, right now, the pet may be the thing that's getting on your nerve. So you can't use that as a coping mechanism anymore. And maybe we're too preoccupied in the morning time to journal like we used to. So it's a matter of changing. Just change maybe when you journal. Maybe now you need to journal at night before you go to bed so that all of your thoughts are in place. And so that maybe you have a different outlook.
I love that. I love that because even in the idea of having problems with sleep, when you talk about changing, you know, from journaling in, you know, at the morning to night, that in itself allows you to kind of write down everything to kind of clear that space. So I love that. Yes. Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Keep you're not interrupting. This is our.
I love that. Immediately I thought about yes, because you know a lot of people during this time we're having challenges. We're up late at night. We're because our mind is racing. If you're one of those that's always on the news or always on Facebook, you're always trying to figure out what the next thing is going on. You know, and I love that aspect of being able to realize, okay, at one point in time, you know, that was helping, but now it's almost become somewhat of a codependency. And it's not, you know, especially when, you know, if it's not helping me to improve and I find myself getting frustrated, I find myself reverting. I love the idea of looking at those coping skills and redirecting them.
Yeah. And that's a good word for it, Marcia, redirecting them. Redirecting them to fit what I'm feeling emotionally right now or what I'm experiencing in my emotions. Again, because I can't change the problem, you know, of what's going on right now, but I can redirect my emotions. Even if I thought, let's keep with journaling, even if journaling, I was writing, but writing has become, you know, tedious and frustrating. How about switching to video journaling or auto recording journaling? Yeah. You know, change the coping mechanism or strategy up some, refresh it even. When you don't like your living room anymore, what do?
Yes.
We refresh it. We don't throw the whole living room away, right? We refresh it. We throw new pillows on it. We get new, you know, throw rugs, different things like that, and we refresh it. So refresh your coping strategies right now is what I'm saying to people.
That's awesome. I love that. Refresh your coping skills. I love the fact that you even tied in the different element, the different ways of doing it. I think that is, you know, critical. You have, you know, there's so much technology at our fingertips nowadays. And, you know, why not use it? Why not allow that to be a part of, you know, your journey to wholeness, your journey to wellness? So thank you for so much. That was pretty awesome. I have just enjoyed you so much.
I have enjoyed being with you. I always enjoy you, though. Always.
I have enjoyed you so much. We've got to do this more. We really do. Because I think it's important. I think it's important for people, and this is a little bit off topic, is to understand, to get, because even myself, when I started, you know, my journey to becoming a counselor, I really did not know I mean, truthfully, I really did not know what it all entailed. And so I had my own preconceived reservations about it prior to, you know, being enlightened and just really stepping out on what God was calling me to do. And I'm like, God, if it can't be as, you know, what I thought it was, the stigma that I had associated with it. You're calling me to it, right? Uh-huh. And so I think people need to hear that, because I'm always shocked. Well, I shouldn't say shocked, because I had some reservations myself, but and there are good and there are bad. I mean, I think that's with anything that you deal with. But I think it's important for, you know, people to understand the benefits outweigh some of those negative things that you've been taught growing up from various institutions, that you know, that this is not something that you need. And I love the fact that we were able to just not only talk from a perspective of you coming in with a major diagnosis, but this is just really about learning how to endure. And all of us are trying to learn what that looks like. So thank you so much. I think that was that needed to be said. And I, you know, this will be an open invitation, an open invitation where you just really bring that truth to it, because I do believe that a lot of the stigma that we encounter is because of lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Yeah. I can work with someone who is not a believer when it comes to counseling, and I'm not there to convert them, because Jesus said that the world would know you.
Come on.
See you. They see me in you. And so I can sit and be in counseling and never use the name of Jesus, but it doesn't mean that I'm not using him.
Right.
And so I think that a lot of Christian counselors, you know, if we would grasp that concept, that even though we're using evidence-based, we still are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill.
Come on.
And men cannot hide us under a bushel. And who we are in God will always ring true and through us.
Thank you for sharing your time with us and empowering us to shift by knowing when and how to replenish, revamp, redirect, establish healthy coping skills, not as a codependency, but just to help us endure and to heal. So at the end of each episode, we close with shift points. Could you share three shift points that we can put into action today to help us in our journey?
Sure. You know, one point, if we could walk away with, for many of us, and again, I use the word us, to acknowledge and to figure out that it's important to acknowledge the fact that our current circumstances in the world at large, they've changed our stability. Mm-hmm. It's changed how we look at being stable and how we have experienced instability. And so if we would acknowledge that and understand that it's important to take a good look at what will keep me focused until I can reestablish my new norm and what normal looks like. But we've got to acknowledge it, you know, first. And then another point, please, please, whatever you do, do not allow anyone or anything to shame you. In the fact that you are still a work in progress and that you are working to establish or even reestablish through strategies how to be well and how to be okay, you know. And then if I could leave this, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, again, it goes back to our conversation, Marcia. Don't be afraid to be okay to have Jesus and a therapist, a life coach. Be okay with that.
Yes.
Be okay. God has created these vocations for a reason. And because they go hand in hand with helping and teaching us and guiding us and helping us understand how to endure and to fight the good fight and become that faithful work that he's created us to be.
Wow. That was perfect. And in every way. Listen, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much, Dr. Gibson, for sharing your time with us.
Until next time, thanks for listening in. Know this, you can rise from anything. It's never too late. You're not stuck. You have choices. You can think new thoughts. You can learn something new. You can create new habits. Most importantly, if God is for you, who can be against you? All that matters is that you decide today to shift. The She Shifted podcast was co-produced in part by Paradox East. Until next time, I'm your grateful host, Marcia Gill, and let's get to it.